Across the Galaxy, Season 2, Episode 3 here on Get Into Geek Talk and Star Wars. Mitch, Matty here. What's doing, big fella?
Just here, just with my...
Oh, there's no need to show that off. That is amazing.
Yeah, but what about my lightsaber?
Put your pants back on, mate.
Hey.
That is great. That is actually my favorite lightsaber, the Obi-Wan lightsaber.
Episode one. Duel of the Fates.
See, I've got that, but not the electronic, like with the proper blade on. I've got the old school plastic version that Brendan, I think when he was over, when we were like teenagers, he and another friend who didn't own one of the lightsabers that I owned either, just went hell for leather against each other and dinted the absolute fork out of the blade of that blue one. And so,
I was gonna say, again, what about the lightsabers?
And so then I had to just bide my time until, you know, father time ate away and deteriorated the blade enough that I'm like, take the blade out.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping the handle. And I look at it and I'm like, it's plastic. You can tell it's, you know, painted plastic. And I'm like, Do I paint that in chrome silver? Do I try and level up? Because I'm not going to do anything with it except maybe, you know, now I'm just using trigger words, mounted on the wall. I would love nothing more. I kind of want to do that, right? Lincoln and I have spoken about that, where we just have like lightsaber handles just horizontally placed somewhere on our wall and just display as many as we can.
I've got them vertically on my wall in broom holders. They're just vertically in.
Oh, with the blade still attached, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Because
yeah, like, you know what? I might do that.
Not all of my lightsabers, the blades can detach.
Yeah, right.
So I would say you need to level up and buy the Obi-Wan Kenobi lightsaber from like Galaxy's Edge, where the blade does come out and it comes in the box and stuff. But you also have four kids under 10, so I feel like the plastic one's probably better for you at the moment.
Yeah.
Until your kids level up, maybe you shouldn't level up your... Because they're just going to want to play with them and destroy them.
Exactly. I recently found two, a green, it's a Luke green and an Anakin episode 2, where, you know, the kids ones that actually the blade goes all the way back into the handle, flick out ones, and had lost them for years, brought them back out. Now the kids just walk around just whacking the shit out of each other and the blades. I'm like, guys, I get it. That's what they're for. Also, not really what they're for that hard. I don't want them to break because you guys won't appreciate just having a handle. Not yet. And also, we're talking about going to Disneyland in the future, near, far. I don't know. I need to know that when I take you to Galaxy's Edge and we spend a bucket load of money taking you to get your own lightsaber made up, that you're not going to break it before we even leave the park, you know?
Like, exactly.
Have some goddamn respect, just like I have for mine that I built. It's like one of my most prized possessions.
To be fair, Galaxy's Edge does sell like slightly upscale kids ones, not like the level that we have them. There's like mid-range ones for about 40 or 50 bucks US.
Oh, okay.
That don't telescope out.
Yeah.
But they have a blade on them that lights up, but they're not the $300 ones that we're buying.
Shit. Okay. Okay.
You get like an Ezra Bridger. You can get the Ezra Bridger staple gun.
Hello. That might be the best way to get that one as well for a kid.
So, geez, that might be some sales here, mate. Middle ground.
Okay. I mean, that's all, fantasyful stuff, because I'm years away from being able to afford myself buying new Star Wars stuff at Galaxy's Edge, let alone taking my four children that don't know what they want, except for the one that says if he went, he would definitely get a red one. And I'm like, that's the wrong answer.
Yeah.
I'm not taking you if you're going to get a red blade.
My friend Michael, I've spoken about a lot. He went to Galaxy's Edge at Christmas time and got a red lightsaber, the build your own lightsaber, and got a red one. And got some professional photos taken in front of the Millennium Falcon. And the Disney... the person who works in the park who takes the photograph went, you really going to have that lightsaber that close to the Millennium Falcon? And he's like, Han's dead. Get over it. And the look on the person's face was like,
Earned himself a red blade. Yeah, absolutely. It suits him. Suits him well. Well, I mean, we're pretty light on in the old Star Wars news this week. It hasn't been a lot going on. So really, I mean, we're just talking about The Bad Batch, episode 5 of season 3 dropping only a couple of hours ago. So we're talking about this pretty fresh. Now, we had some theories around not only what this episode might have been, but also the next two based only, I want to say, on their titles. This one being called The Return. Now, you are not necessarily predicting with any strong conviction, but speculating perhaps that, you know, maybe we get tech.
So that's one of my favorite words that sounds dirty but isn't.
Which one?
Speculation.
Speculation. You're right, actually. Mm. I've never thought about it.
Yeah, if you say it the right way, it sounds dirty, but it's not.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Who was it? You or someone else in our group chat that sent on that thing? And it was a meme, three photos of Anakin talking to Padme, and he said, "Oh, I have masturbated over you since we met." And she said, "But you're not a master, didn't you? Padawanate or something like
Padawank."
That.
I sent that
Padawank, right? Okay, yeah, that was brilliant. Thank you, Maddie. That was fantastic. Because you know we've seen the not the rank of master thing a thousand times. Never quite seen it for masturbate. So I'm saying masturbate. It's like it, I know it sounds weird, but I'm trying to come. It reads better than it sounds, and I'm just gonna leave it. I'm just gonna leave it right there. the speculation that perhaps you know, hey, Tech, maybe he'll be revealed to not be dead, and that would hey, we've got the return is the title of next week's episode. That's what we said last week, and then the two-parter, which is like what there was like a siege and a rescue or something, whatever you had said.
Yeah, exfiltration or something like that, and stuff like that, but. You know, I feel like my speculation was pretty close. I think with this one, I said it'd be the return of either Echo or Tech. And we got the return of Echo. I mean, it was much easier than we thought. He just kind of landed and got off the ship. He was like, hey, what's up? I thought we might have to go and rescue him. So I was kind of right in that I speculated it's like, oh, we'd have to go on a mission where we have to learn to trust Crosshair and maybe save Echo at the same time. First part was right. We went on a mission where we had to learn to trust Crosshair. He didn't really bring, like I spoke about, his, you know, special set of skills.
Mm.
The only really special set of skills that he brought to this is that he had an extra long gun, so he was able to pull Hunter up from the cavern to save him from the ice dune worm.
Yes, thank you. Did they know what they were doing? Did they know what they were doing when they were releasing these episodes, that they would release this mid-days after Dune Part 2 was going to hit cinemas?
The fact that they literally called it the worm. I had the subtitles on, and they spell it W-Y-R-M.
Oh, really? So, yeah, I didn't have the subtitles, but I'm looking at it going, uh-huh, sandworm, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what? It haven't even referred, bang, all of a sudden one of them's like, we have to get past the worm. And I'm like, why'd you have to call it that? But of course you did. I think the thing that I said last week was that I would have been very happy for this episode to be nothing, but and maybe we have 5 minutes towards the end. Something different, but for the most part, for this episode to be nothing but a conversation and just the different sort of politics and ideologies of these two groups of the clones, or really one group is only Crosshair, but you know, like he did say towards the end, I just thought I was being a good soldier, you know, like I was doing what I was raised, brought up to do, programmed to do, really. And even once the chip was brought out, no, I was still doing what I thought was the best thing to do. Now, did he have to be such a dick about it? No, they weren't necessarily talking about that, but you know, Hunter's like very family first, and I think there was that right before the worm. Once they switched off the thing and the worm showed up, I'm looking at this going, oh, this is a very Leonardo and Raphael tension going on. I don't know that I've ever felt that before, whereas I probably should have. And in that sense, I mean, Tech or Echo could be a Donatello. And Wrecker is your Michelangelo.
He's Michelangelo in the body of Raphael.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Whereas I don't think I've ever really thought about the Crosshair and Hunter relationship as being this Leonardo Raphael thing, but that's what I was getting.
Well, they haven't been on the team for so long.
For years, yeah. So there was just...
That is funny, though, because I think I sent you guys ages ago, there is that kind of, you know, thing where it's like you can track any like group of four to that sort of dynamic. Like, I saw a thing that compared the Ninja Turtles, the four main cast members from Seinfeld, the four people from Scooby-Doo and the women of Sex and the City.
Oh, wow.
And they all like tied into each other exactly who the other person was. And it ties back to like an old, ancient Greek, you know, style of writing and storytelling.
Yeah, right.
Of these four different sort of elements. It was like blood, mucus, something and something, you know, it's just this weird thing. So, and I hadn't, until you said it, I actually hadn't clicked on that, but yeah, they very very much are following that that kind of format. And I guess by default, that makes Omega April O'Neil.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the shots that you see of her, depending on like what she's having to wear for the mission, there are very, very striking similarities, now that you say that, I'm thinking of it, of different iterations of April along the yeah. way as well.
Does that make him Splinter, or does that make him
Casey Jones?
Casey Jones.
A bit of both. Maybe some kind of mixture.
Maybe the Kaminoans, they can be the Splinter because they're very soft-spoken and wise.
Yeah.
We're nailing this.
I was about to say we've crushed this. Yeah.
I did feel bad for you though, because yeah, we did sort of speak about last week, like the episode just cut off like a minute before we wanted to. We wanted to have that conversation. And I was really expecting this episode to pick up right after it.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed at the start when it's like time has passed. Like we don't know whether it's been a day, a couple of days, a week or whatever. But we never got to see the conversation. And I understand it from a writing point of view and a storytelling point of view. But if we're looking at these people as real characters, which is kind of how we're supposed to feel about them. What was the conversation that convinced Hunter to let Crosshair on the ship with them and then take them to, is it Pabu is the island? Like their little hideout that no one knows about. That's their sanctuary. That's their safe place that the Empire doesn't really know about and doesn't know they're there. If he doesn't trust Crosshair yet, why would he take him back there? I needed to see that conversation that they had on that planet, like ship to ship.
Yeah.
The only thing they really hinted at is, which I wasn't expecting. I think I know now, like next week is for being infiltration or whatever. It'll be, we'll be infiltrating that facility that Omega and Crosshair just escaped from to rescue all the clones from is kind of what they've set up here. I wasn't expecting them to ever go back there. I wasn't expecting them to go and free those clones, which is great. That's a great idea. Like, cause it really brings together that clone camaraderie. But I feel like, the only way Crosshair was kind of really able to talk his way onto the ship was Omega and Crosshair have intel that Echo needs to give to, you know, Rex and all that kind of stuff to help them find whatever that planet's called, TARDIS or whatever it's called, that they need to find. And I was like, I don't know if I buy it. I wanted them to have that conversation first up.
Yeah.
And then him let him on the ship. And then the rest of the episode could have played out the same. They still could have had their you know, Leonardo and Raphael moment, you know, while they were fighting the Monster of the Week, which is great. Yeah. And I do have a note here. Monster of the Week, take that, Andor.
Oh, fuck. well, I mean, we're 5 episodes in and we've already had definitely 2.
Yeah.
Episodes that featured a monster or we had...
Probably at least. I guess, if you factor in... Yeah, there would have been the monsters that... Batcher.
There was the vine creature in
the vine creature, and then Batcher helped us. I mean, Batcher was another creature, but Batcher helped stop another creature to help them escape or whatever. But what I did like is, and it was funny that it was Wrecker of all people when, you know, the ice worm, the Dune ice worm showed up. Wrecker yells, why is there always a huge monster? And I'm like, that's fantastic, because I feel like if anybody, he's the one that's going to enjoy it the most.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just love the self-referential nature of that, being like, oh, monster of the week.
Yeah. No, that's what I was about to say, is that I would have been very happy with this episode being nothing but like a conversation between the group, and the return being, I guess, what it was anyway, like the return to the group, the return to a mission between everybody. And come the end of it, like they might not see eye to eye completely, or there's no forgiveness or anything like that, 100% of the way. But it felt very much like some of those early Bad Batch episodes where you get to see each of them, you know, sort of shine in their own ways, how they all work together, how they work together really well on the fly. But now we've had, you know, Omega thrown into the middle of it as well. Once, you know, Crosshair is very much, I guess very much part of it, maybe a bit of a stretch.
And she's really working now. Like she was she was hacking computers and, you know, diverting power and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is great. She's not a passenger anymore. They kind of, they gave her electronic crossbow, the pink crossbow last season that she hasn't really, because she's been a prisoner so far, she hasn't really sort of whipped that out this season yet.
Mm.
But yeah, I love that she's sort of being more proactive and being is a real part of the team. And much like I said last week, she even threw it in this episode. She's like, I'm older than you, little brother.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that, like, because you did mention that last week and that was a great moment for her to say. And, like, she has so much love for them. That's what I really like. And, you know, obviously had so much love for Crosshair where she was like, no, I'm not just going to abandon you. I know why you've done what you've done, or I know why you think that you don't deserve to come back and get any forgiveness or whatever it is. But she's always there. She's always so optimistic and so ready to help out. And I do love that about her. But to throw that little dig out, I guess had you not have said that last week, I probably would have forgotten about that like as a top of mind fact. So for her to actually throw that out there, it's like, holy shit. And that probably explains a lot of Wrecker's personality as well. Like, for all intents and purposes, he's just a little kid that gets to blow stuff up. He's the size of a house. So but then, like, when you look at Crosshair, it's like, ooh, yeah, that's weird. Then I guess maybe he's just a little angry child, and as a Raphael thing again. But I think not getting an episode dedicated to a conversation, that's fine. I'll just take a conversation at the start of this that follows on last week. And then, yeah, once we didn't get that, I felt like this episode was trying to win me back, because we very much weren't going to, we didn't get the conversation at the start. Okay, it's the next day. That sucks. I want that initial thing. And then when they realize, or when we realize as an audience where Amiga's waking up, we're on the island. Not only have they let him on the ship and it's been a day or two, but they've actually flown across the galaxy and then spent a night at this place. And then he's already had a conversation to get his weapon back, and he's going down to do some target practice. And like, we refer to those conversations at the end where, you know, whether it was Hunter or Wrecker going, God, I wish that we didn't give him his gun back, you know. And it's like, yeah, but how did he get his gun back? Who did he take that off? Because I feel like these are important moments. Like, I don't want to criticize the writers and go, you guys got lazy and you kind of cheated your way out of that. But at the same time, you kind of cheated your way out of that, yeah, right?
Yeah, it felt the episode was back to front. It's, yeah. They needed to have the conversation first to say, okay, we're going to trust you and give you your gun back, and you're going to see our little island. But then after that, they give him his armor back. And I'm like, again, that should have come first. Before he gets his gun back and before he sees the island, I could see the first bit of trust being, we'll give you your armor back.
Then
we'll give you your gun back.
Yeah, that's cool.
Then when you've proven yourself, you can go to the island. You know, and I think it was all back to front there. The only thing that kind of let me forgive it a little bit, and I guess it alludes to the fact that obviously the characters in the show know Crosshair better than we do, and his family to them, is when Hunter and Crosshair come back after defeating the worm, Wrecker says, like, jabs Echo and goes, see, I told ya, they always fight and make up.
Yeah.
And that's when you remember that they're brothers and they've been together a long time before we've known them. Because obviously for the most of Bad Batch, Crosshair hasn't been a part of the team. You know, when he was introduced in those three or four episodes in Clone Wars, that's all we've really seen of him being part of the team. I'm pretty sure by the end of the first or second episode of Bad Batch proper, he wasn't part of the team. You know, and that was a couple of years ago for us now as viewers. So I guess that to me helped again, and that does tie in further to your, you know, Ninja Turtles analogy. It's like, yeah, they're brothers. They're gonna fight, but at the end of the day, they're family. I mean, you could argue these clones are closer than family. They're closer than twins. They're clones, clones. You know what I mean? They're literally the same person.
Yeah. No. God, you mate. That's such a great point, because it probably represents that family aspect of it so much more that
I think you've got to say that as Dominic Toretto.
Family. Insert here that Yeah, like Hunter's very much that older sibling, we'll say brother, personality, where he's like Wrecker and Tech and Echo and all, like they have like lost trust for Crosshair along the way and wanted to stop him, but they're not as stuck on him as I guess what Hunter is, where he's coming from that older sibling where it's disappointment. As well as anger and sadness.
To double down on your Leonardo thing, he has the burden of leadership.
Yeah.
He has that extra layer where, you know, on top of it, it's, I guess it's like working in a family business. It's like, it's like, which I, you know, I work for my dad. So it's like, it's like, sure. He's your family, but he's also your boss.
And that's
what Hunter is. And Hunter not only saw, I think, what happened with Crosshair as a failure as a brother, he saw it as a failure as a leader.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Hunter is the one more than anyone that is going to have a harder time. Because not only does he, like, forgiving Crosshair, because not only does he have to, like, forgive him as a brother, he has to forgive him as a subordinate, you know, as someone, you know, as someone who takes responsibility for him. Because if Hunter lets him back in and he betrays them and Omega gets captured again or someone gets killed, that's on Hunter. Yeah. You know?
Whereas, and then you do get Omega, who is that, okay, she's not, she's older, but, like, just aesthetically, she looks like the younger sister who just wants her brothers to get along. Like, I know he did something wrong, but can't we all just get along? Come on, Hunter, you've got to forgive him. And Crosshair, come on, just say you're sorry. And come on, let's all get back together. So, I look at, you know, my kids. I've got three boys and a little girl, and she's the same. If the boys are fighting, you know, she just wants to go up and give them both a cuddle because they're upset and wants everyone to get along. Now, she's two. Of course, she likes people being happy, but I'm getting that from this show. And, yeah, it's such a, like, I mean, Star Wars is so much to do with family and found family and things. I know these guys, like you said, they're closer than family, but you look at the OG, you know, threesome of Luke and Leia and Han, leave it. And, you know, this very much found family, not to discredit Chewie, but just the humans in the mix. And yeah, okay, they were thrown together, and okay, we had the twins that didn't know they were related, but you know, these people that were thrown together and found family in each other. And then the same, I guess, with the prequel trilogy as well, where you've got a master and an apprentice, and then this, you know, person that they're, one of them is in love with, and they've all kind of formed this, and you get more of that out of the Clone Wars than you ever did probably from the movies, where they got to really expand on it. But their own little version of the family, where, yeah, like Obi-Wan was the older brother slash uncle slash best friend slash teacher that was having to fill a lot of different roles, even with Padme.
And that's one of the big things, one of the, you know, the big overarching sort of theories with, you know, the prequel trilogy is, and that was why Obi-Wan failed. That was why Anakin turned to the dark side. If Qui-Gon had lived, Qui-Gon would have been a father, would have been a father and a master, whereas all Obi-Wan could be was a brother and a friend. He couldn't be a father to Anakin.
No.
And that's the one thing. What's the one thing Anakin never had? A father.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I love that. It's always about those family and those found relationships and those instant bonds you have with people and those unbreakable bonds you have with people. So yeah, I do like that with this. It's like the show reminder, and Wrecker of all people, you know, is the one that reminded us that, oh yeah, they're brothers, you know?
Yeah. So. And looking further ahead, just, I mean, I know there's millions upon millions of clones that had existed, and I don't want to say that they've all been killed. Like, I'd like to think a lot of them have just went into the service of the Empire. But I guess in a way to explain why in the original trilogy we don't hear any of the Stormtroopers, right, speak with a clone accent, they've got to have gone somewhere. Where have they gone? The Empire surely just didn't pull them all aside and kill every single one of them. So that's obviously the end game of this show. And now, that, like, for the next two episodes, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to try and save as many as we can. So, and is that island an Eden for them? Do they go and rescue tens of thousands of the bastards and bring them back to this island? And then, hey, if Ahsoka ever finds herself in this thing, she's going to find a shit ton of Temuera Morrisons walking around that she think look like Rex.
Well, I mean, she already did. In Rebels, remember, she found Rex and Wolf and Crazy Eyes, whatever he was. So it's like, we know that some rebel some clones survive all the way up until the battle of I was about to say the battle of Andor, and I was like, no, the battle of Yavin.
You would hate that.
Yeah, the battle of Yavin and the battle of Endor.
Yes,
two very important vowel sounds there between Andor and Endor. Actually, Ash, who you work for on your breakfast show, I'd love to hear him pronounce those. Given that he pronounces, like, when you talk about Ellen DeGeneres, he pronounces Ellen as Alan. So I feel like instead of saying the Battle of Endor, he'd probably say the Battle of Andor.
Yeah. And look, maybe from next week, because we've got a girl that works with us in our sales department, and she's got a delicious Kiwi accent. When I say that, it's perfectly matched to the Bad Batch.
Excellent.
Like, it's as inflicted with the Kiwi-isms as much as any Australian could hope from our southern brothers and sisters. And I kind of want her just to give us a little cold audio piece of just saying, and now it's time for the Bad Batch, because it would very much be the Bid Batch. And she walked past me today.
And Omega. Omega, as we would say Omega.
Did you Have you noticed? I've been saying Amiga because I watched a video. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this woman on TikTok and Instagram, but I saw she was... Oh, the one I sent to you, right? And for anyone else that has missed it, I'll have to give out her handle next week when I find it. But she was at a Taylor Swift concert and she was watching the first episode of The Bad Batch.
Oh, yes.
That was when the episodes dropped, right? When she was at, I don't know, Sydney or Melbourne show, whenever it would have been. And I looked into more of her reels and obviously massive fan. And in one of them, she was defending how she says Omega because she said, you know, it's spelt the way that we would say Omega and all of the clones refer to her as Omega. But she, when she introduced herself and refers to herself, says Omega. So yep. I'm trying harder to say Omega.
Yeah.
And you've been saying Omega. And I'm like, I don't know that either one of us is going to bring this up. This is kind of fun. So
Emery calls her Omega as well.
Yeah, right. Okay. I didn't
and
notice that.
It's funny. Speaking of TikTok, I actually did see a TikTok the other day. And it was this woman having a rant. It was like a 3-minute rant of talking about how her name has been mispronounced her entire life. When she goes and gets coffee, when she goes to the doctor's office, and you don't know what her name is until right to the end. And her name is Dana.
Yeah, right.
D-A-N-A.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that can be Dana. That can be Dana. I've got a friend that I went to school with and she liked hers to be pronounced Dana.
Yeah, right.
So it's the same thing. It's like, well, if Omega is saying her name is Omega, then I'm going to call her Omega.
Yeah.
But I have to train my brain to like not say Omega. Like, because when you see it written, it's like, yeah, that's Omega.
Well, what I might do with Rachel from work is just get her into the studio and just give her a bunch of like key words and phrases and say, just say this how you would normally say it in your accent, and we could just pepper them throughout the show. I wanted, hey, well, how do you say this? Oh, betcha. I'm like, perfect. Thank you. Move on. So I'll see what I can put together for next week.
I'm absolutely down for that. Speaking of voices and Batcha, I noticed it in the end credits tonight.
Has Batcha got like a voice artist?
Guess who voices Batcha?
Like an Alan Tudyk or something like that? Or what are we talking?
No, the hardest working man on Clone Wars. One, D. Bradley
Stop.
Baker.
He didn't do the
D. Bradley
Batcha
Baker
as well.
Just fucking showing
Why?
Off now.
He doesn't
giving,
need to do this.
Giving his best Frank Welkers. He's now just going like, you know what? And it kind of does like track for me because it's like, well, Omega gave her the name Batcha.
Yeah.
As in a bad Batcha. She's one of us.
Mm.
So I think it's kind of fantastic that D. Bradley Baker, who voices all the clones...
That's true. Okay.
Also voices Batcha. I'm like, that's fantastic.
All right, hook me in.
And another one on voices, as we spoke about last week or the week before, Angelica Houston.
Mm.
I did go on IMDb just to confirm, make sure I wasn't talking out of my ass, just in case. I didn't want to get DM'd people saying, that's not fucking Angelica Houston. it definitely was her, but would you believe it? Not her first... Star Wars voice role.
What?
She actually did an episode of Visions.
Oh, yeah. Well, neither
she
of us
plays
have finished
a,
that,
yeah, she plays a character called Sith Mother. So I'm like, I am fucking
Shit.
Down for that.
Oh, yeah, that look. Because she's got the look for that.
Between her in Witcher, not Witcher, in John Wick, and her in Witches, she's the perfect Sith. She's
oh my
the
God,
perfect
yes.
Sith voice. So yeah, I can't wait to watch that. That's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
Something I do want you to keep an eye out though as well, just a little bit of trivia. Crosshair got his armor back.
Yeah.
He has this weird spike on his shoulder, and I have no idea what purpose it serves. So if anyone out there knows, maybe shoot up Craig. He's a shooter, maybe he knows. I don't understand what that spike on his shoulder is for. It makes no sense to me.
Okay.
And then a little bit of trivia. I don't know if it's canon or not. I didn't realize it when we landed on that planet and Crosshair looks up at the bird, and then it's an ice planet, and it's like a depot. I'm pretty sure that's the planet from last season where he went rogue and killed his superior officer that was like having all the clones killed and stuff. Remember that?
I do. I didn't pick up on it. Being...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't name it, but I'm pretty sure it's the same planet. I didn't realize it until...
Well, I mean, he seemed to know, yeah. He referred to having known a lot about it.
Yeah, when he went and started like stacking up the helmets. I think that was all his clone friends that his boss was having killed.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So I think that might be why he has the intel is because that's the last place he was before he got put in
and
jail.
Perfect spot for him too to sort of come back full circle and actually reunite with the only family that he has left now. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that. I thought that was good.
And double up next week. So we get whatever the episode titles. We've already said 400 times and I've already forgotten, but a double episode next week.
Infiltration and something or other.
All right. Well, we might. I mean, only through watching again the trailer, I saw snippets of it the other day. I'm like, we've still we've got Old Love Ventress to come back at some stage as well. Like, we've got 10 episodes left. Is she back in this? She was in the trailer. Asajj was in the trailer.
For some reason, I thought that was a trailer for bloody Tales of the Jedi or something.
I wish that I didn't say anything now. That would have been amazing for you. I'm so sorry.
Aren't people theorizing it's going to be like the Dark Disciple storyline or something like that with Harry Quinlan-Voss?
They've said which I'm so happy about. Not that I've read Dark Disciple, but I love the fact that the showrunners of a Star Wars like television or movie have had to come out and go, don't worry, this will allow the canon of a book to exist as well. We're not forgetting that this will fit in. I'm like, I love that. I haven't read the book. I've heard that people really like it and it tells an important story, but the idea that they've brought her back now creates some confusion in the timeline. They'll go, no, don't worry. It will still fit. So it might be some flashbacky type stuff or whatever's going on. I don't know. But yeah, it'll be exciting to see.
And some hopefully some Quinlan-Voss.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, just I mean, the fact that he was name dropped in Obi-Wan as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. He's one of those characters in like you get him in all different kinds of franchises where they don't have a lot of screen time, don't even have a lot of name mentions. But when they do show up, it's like, oh, I like that person and I want to see more of. And then they just sort of they get this momentum of support and popularity to the point where it's like they are more well known now because of being well known than they are actually for what they did.
And the fact that character started as a background actor on episode one, sitting in the background of Tatooine, wasn't a character. He just had a yellow line on his face. People were like, oh, we're obsessed. We want to know more.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go out on my, I know we're going to go, here's my theory then for this season. You know, I'm throwing out theories, you know, predictions. If we get Asajj, that means we get Quinlan. And then something happens. Maybe we finally kill off Asajj. Who knows? And Quinlan goes, I need a new Padawan. And the Bad Batch go, let us introduce you to Gungi. And then suddenly Quinlan-Voss and Gungi are master and Padawan.
Okay. What I'm going to need you to do, because this is 2 weeks in a row now, I'm going to need you to somehow find a way to tie in either what happened this episode or what could happen in the next episode and how it relates to Gungi. That's your task.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
No, I'm going to need it. I know that you can. I know that your theory is going to run wild. I want Gungi theories. I want Gungi confirmed every single episode. This is brilliant.
This is going to be my Darth Jar Jar. This is what it is.
It is the hill I will die on. Get into Geek.